From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, July 6th, 2026. Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Graham Platner is denying a new report that he sexually assaulted a woman he was dating 5 years ago. The report by Politico includes details from Jenny Rasico, a Maine woman who alleged that Platner forced her to have sex with him after entering her home in 2021. In a video statement shortly after the story was published today, Platner said the allegations are false and part of an attempt to knock him out of the race. But he also says the campaign is assessing the damage the story may have on his bid to unseat Republican Senator Susan Collins in November.
Regardless of the inaccuracy of the reporting, but mindful of the political reality it will inflict, we are taking the time to reflect on the best path forward for the state that I love, the people that I love, the movement I belong to, and the goal of defeating Susan Collins.
Meantime, leaders of the Maine Democratic Party are calling on Platner to drop his Senate bid. Following the recent accusations, party leaders put out a statement this evening. B.J. McAllister, who is one of Maine's two members of the Democratic National Committee, says many Democrats he knows are seriously concerned about the allegations.
These new details that came out today are deeply troubling, and I don't think that he should be in this race any longer. And thankfully, there's still time to make a change. And in order to do so, he has to drop out.
The report comes just 1 week before the deadline that allows Platner to drop out of the race and be replaced on the November ballot. If that happens, the Maine Democratic Party would choose the replacement. A federal court ruled last week that private religious schools receiving public funds are not exempt from the Maine Human Rights Act protections against discrimination. The court ruled against Cross Point Church in Bangor and St. Dominic Academy in Auburn, who both sued the state seeking an exemption from the law which prohibits discrimination based on faith, gender identity, and sexual orientation. Carol Garvin at the ACLU of Maine wrote in a statement that the case threatened to dismantle hard-won protections and that her organization applauds the court's defense of the Maine Human Rights Act. Acadia National Park does not have to reinstall informational signs that had been removed from the park, according to a federal court order. Signs featuring information about Wabanaki people, climate science, and history had been removed from the park last year in accordance with a March 2025 executive order from President Trump. Last month, a federal court ordered the signs be put back, but a federal appeals court last week granted a stay, which means the national parks do not have to restore the signage until the case is decided. Educational signs in other national parks across the country have been removed as well. New data from the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention show that the rate of tick-related emergency room visits is the highest in 9 years. Megan Porter is a health educator at the Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention and says visits are up from where they were this time last year.
This is when we see the bulk of disease transmission from ticks into people, and we tend to see the most cases at this point just because those ticks are very small, and they come out at a time when we like to be outside in tick habitat.
Porter says there is a lot of disease transmission right now in Maine, and the best way to prevent tick bites is to wear clothing and shoes that cover as much skin as possible and to apply EPA-approved insect repellent. The Trump administration is back with new policy changes that could upend homeless services for people in Maine. Dean Klein is the executive director of Maine's Continuum of Care, which secures federal funding for a network of housing assistance providers.
We anticipate, possibly 500 individuals to become homeless due to these changes.
Klein says the latest policy could shift opportunities away from programs that provide long-term housing and social services to people experiencing chronic homelessness. Last fall, the Trump administration issued a similar policy notice that state officials said would put 1,200 people in Maine at risk of becoming homeless. But Maine and about 20 other states sued the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and a federal judge blocked the proposed changes. State health officials say more than 600 immigrants in Maine could lose full Maine care coverage in the fall under new federal rules. The State Department of Health and Human Services said in a bulletin last week that the restrictions go into effect on October 1st and apply to people with a variety of immigration statuses, including refugees and asylees who have not received green cards. Alex Carter with Maine Equal Justice says her group has been meeting with those at risk of losing coverage.
And one man talked about his brother waiting for a surgery, a necessary surgery for a serious health condition that's going to be canceled.
Carter says some people may be able to access free care through individual hospitals, but that those programs don't always cover all essential services. And the city of Portland opened its new $12 million community pool today, a revitalization project more than 6 years in the making. Michael Livingston reports.
Patrons wasted no time jumping in the cool water at the new Rising Eddy Community Pool. This was the site of the former Kiwanis Pool, opened in 1961. The city launched plans in 2019 to use funds from the Federal American Rescue Plan Act to replace the pool. But in 2024, growing construction costs created a funding gap of more than $1 million, which was closed less than a year later by community fundraising. The city's Ethan Hipple says the new pool will improve community health.
We are going to teach thousands of people how to swim in this pool, and then they will have that for their entire life to have fun, but also to keep them safe.
The pool will operate 7 days a week. Residents can buy day passes or season passes on the city's website. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, antidepressant use. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.